Former white commercial farmer Alex Goosen is affectionately known locally as Juma, a common surname in the Matabeleland region. Others call him Makozindenda, literally meaning someone with welling saliva. Goosen lost his farm to invaders despite his deep roots in the Mkuza community. He says he has moved on and is currently operating some businesses in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo. He says the love for the local Ndebele language has healed some of his wounds.
If you can speak the language, learn it, then you understand the people. And, you know, the Zimbabwean people are probably the most friendly people in the world, other than probably Australians. You know, everyone, you see somebody, everyone greets you. If you go to Europe and you greet people, they think you want something or you're mad.
He dismisses assertions that some whites in Zimbabwe, mostly those who were affected by land reforms, are isolating themselves.
There might be still one or two misguided elements, but you're going to find them everywhere in the world. You know, you with me, there's still neo-Nazis in Germany. We integrate with everyone. You can't isolate yourself in a country like this, but you wouldn't want to isolate yourself because most of the guys, or we all feel the temperature is the same in business.
His colleague, Ben Frith of the Southern African Development Community Tribunal, however, is still a bitter man following violent farm invasions in his area, which left one of his close relatives dead.
One of the biggest issues in Zimbabwe is the fact that our president can get away with some incredible racist statements and racist practices.
Frith says he is still seeking redress for alleged injustices committed on white commercial farmers.
What I was asking the United States to do in the spirit of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement is to say that racism is wrong, that the United Nations Committee for the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination should have a complaint put to it regarding the breaking of that United Nations convention, which our president signed in 1991.
He believes that there was no need for the government to use force when it introduced its land reforms, which have been widely criticized by countries like the United States, Britain, Canada, and Australia, resulting in them imposing restrictive sanctions on President Robert Mugabe and members of his inner circle. The West accused President Robert Mugabe and his government of committing serious human rights abuses and allegedly rigging elections. For Ian Kay, a commercial farmer who has also suffered at the hands of the land invaders, life goes on despite racial outbursts at times from some of the ruling party's elite.
My life is in Zimbabwe. I did not choose to be born here. All this racial discrimination is unnecessary. We want to live in peace.
Some white Zimbabweans like David Coltart, an attorney and former education minister, ZANU-PF is still behaving as if it is waging an armed liberation struggle in a country that attained independence in 1980.
Robert Mugabe and many of the senior leadership of ZANU-PF sadly are trapped in the politics of the 1960s, the politics of racial discrimination. Fortunately, the vast majority of Zimbabweans have moved on. And that was certainly reflected in my elections in 2000, 2005, 2008.
Goosen believes that all this is unnecessary as most Zimbabweans, including whites, are struggling to make ends meet due to the harsh economic environment in the country. He adds that some whites who left some time ago are now coming back to Zimbabwe.
There's still a lot of whites coming back. I think once you've been born in Africa, Africa's good, I'm afraid. You don't want to live there. And the minute we turn and the economy opens again, you know, as long as people don't try and control the economy the whole time, let the people control their own destinations.
On the other hand, Frith argues that President Robert Mugabe has failed to unite the nation as per his pledge to cater for the needs of all Zimbabweans when he became the country's first black leader. As a result, he says, some scared white farmers have stopped most commercial activities due to fears that their land will be taken over by the government.
Every day they live in fear. Farmers just do not have any security. They don't know who is going to decide that they are going to take over the property.
But ZANU-PF Central Committee member and member of parliament for Pelandaba Mpopoma, Joseph Chuma, dismisses these fears, arguing that farmers will lose their land if they don't utilize it productively.
The president does not want to work their land because they are living in fear. Who will take back that land and give it to somebody else? It's as simple as that.
There is nobody who is targeting anybody.
For Goosen, the solution is for young white children to learn the local language so they can team up with their black counterparts to create a democratic nation.
The next generation will change it, you know, but we need to get past the generation at the moment. They don't just butcher whites, they do it to everyone, right? And if you look at the rest of Africa, we probably go to South Africa. South Africa is even worse. South Africa is the murder capital of Africa. So I think in Zimbabwe, we're not as violent. We complain about the hard times and the butchering, but the violence isn't the same as it is in South Africa.
Some within the community argue that much needs to be done to transform Zimbabwe into a rainbow nation, as was promised by the government in 1980 when the country attained independence from British rule. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.